Thank you for being here this evening. Tonight we'll take a little look at the scriptures, hopefully bring some insight to our heavenly walk, our earthly walk with a heavenly goal. Glad you could be here this evening. Hope you're encouraged from gathering tonight. I know I am. And seeing you all here is a great gift that we have organized by God. Well, there's a sporting event happening today. And probably some of that's gone unnoticed with y'all, since it's not on any news or anything. But a couple teams will compete tonight, and one will win, and one will lose. Now, Andy told us this morning, and we're all familiar, nobody likes to be behind. In last place, nobody likes to lose, do we? But winning something that pretty fun. And when you have a goal and you achieve your goal, that's a good feeling. So tonight, let's talk about winning. I've already got myself messed up. So winning. It doesn't come easy, does it? So what does it take? What do winners do? What do winners constantly have that they practice, that they do over and over? There's things that winners have in common. Many books written about the 7 habits of highly effective people, and that's what they do to be effective. And so what do winners have in common? What are some things that winners do? And speaking of on a sports kind of mindset, winners practice, don't they? Winning requires practice. Any professional in any sport will tell you that practice is essential to growth. You can't grow in your skill set if you don't try to use your skill set. You can't work on the things that you're lacking, right? And the things that you need to grow on and be stronger in if you don't work at that. And that requires practice. Practicing grows the skills that you need to possess in order for you to compete. Winning requires teamwork, doesn't it? You can even go to, this is evident in team sports, of course, but you can go to individual sports where it's a swimmer or a golfer. And if you talk to them about their success, they're going to tell you about someone, a coach or a mentor or a group of people that have supported them along the way. And they've just had a team behind them to win what they're, to reach their goal. But no matter what the team is, whether it's a work team, a group at work that works together on something or a sport or whatever, everyone understands that the team gets more done than just an individual or two working on their own. Another thing that winning requires is trusting the coach and his plan. The teams tonight have a head coach, and they've beat it into these guys that these head coaches know what they're doing, right? And they've convinced them that there's a plan that the head coach comes up with, and if they follow that plan and have trust in that plan and execute that plan, that they're going to be the winners tonight. Well, that's some things that the sporting world has in common. I think among those, you know, has a lot of sub-categories, but that kind of solidifies what a winning team is or what a winner is. But we're not here tonight to talk about any ball game, are we? That ball game tonight in the big scheme of life matters very little. And some of us might enjoy watching these games as entertainment. They really don't have any meaning onto our life as a whole. And on the grand meaning of life, and that is to win the spiritual contest. Spiritual contest that we are endeavoring upon is what I want to talk tonight. It's a war of the spiritual realm. It's God versus the devil. The devil is described by the scripture as the father of lies. He only wants to deceive you, to work the truth around and not let you understand the truth or work it to his benefit and keep you from obeying God. And thus he has some company in his suffering. And he is just after not letting God be glorified. And so he's after your soul. And it's versus the devil versus God. And God is the creator, the sustainer of life, the father of everything. And he loves us. And he desires us to be with him for eternity. And he gives us a way out of our sin. And he gives us a way that we would know that we can be with him through our obedient lives. It's an individual contest, isn't it? Each one will have their own judgment. Each one will be accountable for the decisions that we each make. We can't rely on mom or dad or the church here if we're part of the church or we're in good standing. No. It's a personal contest. And the spiritual contest has an eternal prize, and that's fitting, for a spiritual contest has to do with our eternal souls. And so an eternal prize is the only prize that would be fitting for such an endeavor. And the prize in Philippians chapter 3:14 speaks of it, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. That's a prize I'm ready and willing to change my life to get, if that's what it takes. I'm ready to put my feelings and my wants aside, because that prize is coming from an upward call. It's coming from heaven. And that's the eternal prize, the crown in heaven. So winning the spiritual contest, then, what does that take? And I hope you realize I was building a whole background for this with the Super Bowl thing. So it requires work as well, right? So what does this battle require? Winning the spiritual contest also is going to take practice, it's going to take teamwork, and it's going to take following the coach, God, and his plan. Practice comes from a Greek word, prasso, meaning to keep, to do, to practice. It denotes the aspects that we would associate with a habit. So we use it, the word, to talk about the habit. You have a practice of coming to service on Sunday evening. So that's a habit that you have. We also, he practiced the tuba. Right? And so we use it both ways, as you're forming the practice or you're performing the act that you've practiced. So we have that. And so the practice that we need to engage in, as we talked before, we're not going to win if we don't grow. And so we practice to increase our growth. Ephesians chapter 5:15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And that's something I can grow in, walking correctly and with full view and full knowledge. And so always doing what I should in my walk. And I know that I must take every effort to grow. James says clearly in James chapter 3 verse 2, "For we all stumble in many things." He couldn't have said that better for me, that I stumble in a lot of things and I have a lot of room for growth. But we all have something that we lack, and we all need to look in the mirror and decide what we need to do about that. Winners have resolve to work on their shortcomings. We've said before, there's eternal prize we want. We want to be the winner of those things. And there's shortcomings we have that we need to work on. So practice, it takes mature foresight and then determination to practice, and that will help us win the prize. So winners, practice. Winners also use teamwork in their achievement of their goals. We won't look at these verses, but Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 and Colossians chapter 2, 19 both talk about members of the body and being joined together. And we're joined together and growing together. We see that the church here is depicted as a body. Growth in the body is expected. That's the norm. If a baby doesn't grow, there's a problem, right? We need to get them to the doctor. But that's expected in a group. It's expected in an individual in the spiritual sense. Growing together as we're involved in a group will be the intended outcome. Encouragement and exhortation should always be the result from us getting together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." God told us what he thought about the power of teamwork. In an account in the book of Genesis, there was a tower being built in Shuman, and it was later called named the Tower of Babel. And in verse 6 and 7 of Genesis chapter 11, there's no doubt what God thought these folks could achieve as they worked together. The Lord said, "There are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them." God understands that this teamwork was very powerful. And on a physical sense, whatever they wanted to accomplish, they were going to accomplish. God didn't want them to be all in one place making something that would glorify themselves. So he confused their language and scattered them among the earth. But they had the power to do anything. Two thoughts about that I don't have in my slides, but this power came from a common goal. They decided they were going to build a tower. And everybody bought into that common goal. The other thing is the communication that they had. It was solid. They all had the same language. They all were talking about the same things. Tonight in the ball game, there's one quarterback, and he'll probably say the word Omaha 50 times. And we don't know what that means. The other team doesn't know what that means. I'm not sure anybody knows what that means, but it's the thing. And so his team seems to know what that means. And so they use it together. They all get going the same direction, do the same thing in order to achieve their goal. But a decision and a conscious effort to communicate in teamwork is crucial, isn't it? We all have to understand and be working toward the same goal. And that was a couple of the things that made these folks at Schumann so powerful. But teamwork, using teamwork, we must understand its importance, and then we have to be a part of it. Fans in the stands don't win, do they? Rooting for a team tonight in your living room, you don't win. You just witnessed someone winning. And so we don't want to be that kind of team player or that kind of fan. We want to be a team player. Working in the team, the Church of God, will help you win the eternal prize. Trusting the coach. There's only one coach we should be worried about, and that's God. God is the only one that's trustworthy in our war against the devil, with our eternal prize being what's at stake, and we're not to trust in our own smarts. Not going to figure this thing out on our own. We're not the ones that can come up with the game plan or how to win the game. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." So does trusting in this coach work? Well, trusting in God works. A couple Old Testament examples that I thought of were in Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were spared from the fiery furnace. Did they trust in God? Did it work? And Daniel in the sixth chapter of that book was spared from hungry lions. I asked myself, did he trust in God? Yes, fully. And did it work? Yes, it worked. And so trusting in God, God has not changed since the Old Testament. He will still provide and still is trustworthy. Trusting God includes trusting His plan. He has a plan for us. It's an eternal plan. It's for you and it's for me and it's for our souls. Our soul's final home. And we see in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, if you read that, you see that God has always had a plan that would allow us to be saved. Before creation, He had that plan. And so that plan's been around for a long time. It's a good plan. And God, we have to trust God, trust His power, trust His ability to guide us, and trust the plan. Can't trust in ourselves, and we can't in ourselves figuring it a plan out. We cannot trust in our own works. Galatians chapter 2:16 is clear that faith is what saves us, not the works that we may accomplish. Sure, there is work that we must do, but nothing that we could do will merit eternal reward. Trusting God is the only way to win. Winning requires trust so much that we follow with all our might for all our days. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." An eternal crown, an eternal place in heaven is what we strive for, is the prize that we strive for. One of the downfalls of not preaching very often is that you sometimes don't know how long it might take you to deliver the message. And this evening, I hope you're not discouraged by the length of the message, but can take some of these ideas with you as you go. But do you believe in God? Do you trust in God and His plan? There are things that we do every day in the lives that we live. Can others see that this is this is what you believe and this is what you trust as you're among them and you're just living your life? Or do they think you're just kind of odd that you don't go out drinking with them? Or do they think that you're just antisocial? We have to make it clear why we do things we do, right? Can't leave it up to their imagination on what they think why we're acting a certain way. But trusting in God, I've asked Henry to lead the hymn, "Trust and Obey," for the invitation hymn. That has a great message to it. There's nothing more we can do in our walk to please God but to trust Him, trust the words that He's given to us, trust the Scripture for guidance, and obey those things as we find there's things for us to do. We all want to be a winner. We all like winning. We have to understand that the winners at the highest level do whatever it takes to win. God hasn't asked us to give up all our physical belongings. He hasn't asked us to go live on an island somewhere, give up our families, but to live among men and live our lives, love our families. We'll be blessed with things. So there's some things we still have, we can still have. But whatever it takes spiritually, we have to do that. As we see something in our life that needs to change, whether we need to first give our life to Jesus Christ, we haven't done that, then that's what it takes. If we need to correct some things in our life, if we need to repent, whether it's a public repentance, asking for prayers and forgiveness of the congregation, or if it's privately, we need to do whatever it takes. We need to be the winners on the outcome of our soul's destiny. Whatever is lacking, win the prize. We'll sing the song of invitation now. If you have any need, whether it be to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, or to come forward for any other need, we ask you to do it at this time.